Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar. Joe Rex Road will be along shortly. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a fantastic start here on this Friday morning. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday, huh? What a week. Feels like it's been a long week.
It does feel like it's been a long
week. But yeah, it is Friday. The weather's been hot. Officially feels like summer out there. We mentioned yesterday the Bonnaroo is rolling, so careful on 24 down towards that way. But yeah, doing good. Kept up with most of the Cup final game last night and turned on a little bit of the soccer. Was it South Korea and
your guess is as good as mine. I know that Mexico won yesterday. I saw some of that game.
Czechia. South Korea versus Czechia last night. South Korea got the 2-1 win.
Didn't go well for South Africa against
Mexico. I saw a bunch of red cards in that game, too. Yeah. I saw 2 for South Africa, 1 for Mexico. So getting off to a spicy start there. But, yeah, doing good, thanks. I was going to wait to tell Joe, but ordered some dinner last night from a place that if you listen to the Paul Kucharski podcast, yes, you'll know who I'm referring to.
Indeed.
They were out of stock on the mac and cheese, apparently. So I couldn't order that for the kids, and that's always an issue. However, they did have an option that I went with, and I will say it was quite delicious. Banana pudding.
Oh, yes. Was this your first experience?
No, not my first experience with banana pudding. But you know what? I was like, okay, they don't have any mac and cheese. Let's switch it up.
Yeah.
We'll go with the banana pudding.
You know what I call that?
Big old case of banana pudding.
I call that very good parenting. That's what I call that. That's an impressive stroke for you in the fatherhood category. Good stuff for me so far.
So after, they ate some of their food, she did pretty good, came back for seconds, got a little bit of extra meat, a little potato salad, and then I was like, you know what? I got a little something for you. Scoop some of that in there. She said it was good. And I agree. It was pretty delicious. One of the better banana puddings I've ever had, if I'm saying so myself.
Well, that makes me very happy to hear. It's good stuff on that front. I mean, banana pudding is an elite dessert, and Rextro is nothing but a hater on that front. You brought up the Cup final. Heck of a game last night for the Cup final. Carolina gets the win. They take down Vegas 4-2 last night, and they are one win away from the Stanley Cup. I thought it was a game last night where Carolina was basically in control the whole time. I thought Vegas got off to a good start in the game. Vegas probably got off to their best start of the series. They took the 1-0 lead, and then Jordan Staal tied it at 1. And I thought from that point on, Carolina was really in control of the game. And Vegas took some penalties. I mean, Jeremy Lauzon, former Pred, just took an awful penalty. They killed that one off. And then Braden McNabb took a penalty that was maybe even worse. And they did not kill that off. Andrei Svechnikov finds the back of the net. Sebastian Aho scored a few minutes later. And when it was 3-1, I mean, really all throughout this series so far, you've looked at a 2-goal lead and you've seen it evaporate all the time. And it just never felt like that was going to happen in this one. It felt like Carolina was in control the whole time. So you've got a Carolina team that now is one win away from the Stanley Cup. Vegas sustains an injury last night that it's not like it's Mitch Marner or Jack Eichel or anything, but it's a significant injury when you talk about William Karlsson. And you could see on the bench, I mean, they were messing with his arm and his wrist, and eventually he had to skate off. I didn't see the hit either. But
I guess it got him pretty good.
You could see the trainer kind of mouthing something to Tortorella after all that. And Tortorella's reaction was basically, oh, great.
Biscuits.
Yeah, like this is not good. So My guess is, and I heard Elliot Friedman and Kyle Bukauskas talking about this on the 32 Thoughts podcast on the way in this morning. Guess is he probably broke something, either his arm or his wrist. And if that's the case, I mean, he's done for the rest of this series, obviously. So that's a big loss for Vegas on that front. Brandon Bussey coming in goal for Carolina, and he's picked up a couple of wins. And, you know, it hasn't been perfect. It's not like I didn't think he was great in game four, but he made some big saves at big times. And then last night, I thought he was really good. Like, you're talking about a goalie coming in the middle of the series after having not played in the playoffs, and all of a sudden Carolina on the doorstep of a championship, heading back to Vegas for game six.
Yeah, they look pretty good. They have been rolling pretty much this entire postseason, and I was kind of wanting to see when a hot team matches up against another hot team, how that kind of played itself out. Vegas starting to look a little tired to me. Carolina has not played very many games. What, they pretty much swept most of their series leading up to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they swept the first two.
So they haven't played.
And they lost one in the third round. Yeah.
So they haven't played that many games, all things considered. And they look like the fresher team. Carter Hart has not been great.
No, he's given up four or more in every game of the series so far.
And I don't know if I'm buying the whole Frederick Anderson's completely healthy situation. A little bit strange that you would make the goalie swap right there.
Yeah, there's
he's had some concussion issues before. He got hit a couple of times, and I guess that was game two.
He got smoked in the crease.
And I worried about that. But, you know, Brendan Moore's like, everybody's available, but he's not being dressed. Maybe they're playing some funny games. Not that it really matters too much at this point.
Yeah, the thing with the Anderson move
is interesting if he is healthy.
The thing with the Anderson thing to me, and I've heard Friedman bring this up, which tells me that he might know something and is not just really comfortable reporting it yet, but he's talked about it a couple times on the 32 Thoughts podcast this week. Like, you know, Claude Lemieux died.
Yeah.
They were very close. Like, that was Anderson's agent.
Yeah.
And apparently they were really, really close. And, I mean, that's obviously something that's horrific to go through when one of your good friends passes away like that. So I think there's maybe some of that going on, too.
That makes
sense. Kind of behind the scenes.
Sure.
Because not only is he not playing, like, he's not dressing. Like, they're going and, I mean, they're dressing Kochetkov
as the backup,
and then they've gone out and they've brought in a fourth goalie now, like, to add to the mix here. So, like, it tells me that I don't know how much he's around. Like, that's an interesting part of this as well. So, but that also tells me, Ian, that Bussey's going to be the guy from here on out. I mean, these next two, regardless of how it goes, like, he could go give up seven in game six, and he's probably going to be the guy in game seven.
Feels that way at this point.
So,
yeah.
That part of it is interesting. I mean, I mentioned it yesterday in the best and worst things in
sports. Yeah, that carried over again last night for you.
The Jordan Staal thing is really cool because, like I said, I mean, he hasn't been in the cup. He's been in the league forever. He hasn't been in the cup final since 2009 when he was a part of the team in Pittsburgh that won it. You're talking about a guy that in the regular season has played more than 1,400 games in the NHL. He's 37 years old. He's been around for a long time. And again, he's not some offensive juggernaut out there. Like, he scored 20 goals in the regular season, which at 37 is very good. He had 36 points. But he's known more basically for his ability to, you know, shut people down and kill penalties. And just the fact that he scored a goal in every game so far of the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, if Carolina finishes this off, I think he's going to win the Conn Smythe. Like, you know, there are probably a couple other guys you could look at, and I know there's been the idea floating out there that Marner could win it even if Vegas loses, which we did see McDavid do a couple of years ago. But, I mean, McDavid had just an absolute freak show of a playoff run. Marner's been really good. He hadn't been that good. I think Jordan Staal, if they win this thing, he's going to win the Conn Smythe, which is just amazing.
It is amazing. He probably deserves it, all things considered, to be able to pull something off like this. It hadn't been done since the 70s. I mean, given his age, it's impressive. I mean, Carolina's impressed me. I was worried that they might kind of slip up here because they had never been to the cup final, kind of waiting for that shoe to drop, like, oh, they keep making it this far, and then something happens, and they kind of don't live up to the expectations. I was almost kind of expecting that to happen in the cup final too, and it has not. And they've responded. Both teams have responded, and I think they're going to do it.
Well, and I think yesterday, two huge developments for Carolina. Aho and Svechnikov find the back of the net. And those guys have been struggling. Like, I think they had one goal combined in the final heading into last night, and that was Svechnikov. And Aho, I mean, Aho had one goal in his previous 13 games. And that's just, you can't, it's hard to imagine you getting within one win of the Stanley Cup when one of your best players is just almost invisible offensively. But that's what he's been. And they've had other guys, namely Jordan Staal, pick up the slack there. But Aho finding the back of the net last night, Svechnikov scoring last night, like, to me,
special
that's
teams
a
is
very
rolling.
Good development. And their power play looks good. Yeah. Like, that's
killing penalties very well.
Yeah, like they look like they're starting to take control here. Now, look, they're about to be walking into an absolute firestorm because game six, whatever Vegas's best shot is, you're going to get it, probably especially early in that game, and you're going to have to find a way to weather that. You know, if you force me to guess right now, as we sit here at 6:11 in the morning, my guess, Ian, would be that Vegas wins game six and it's going back to Carolina for
okay.
game seven.
All right.
That's
not
my
sure.
guess.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'll do in weekend winners in this coming up here.
Yeah, and I could feel differently about that at 8:30. I don't know. That's just that's
teaser.
My guess of what's gonna happen here as we sit here early in the morning. So it's been a fantastic Stanley Cup final so far. A fantastic Stanley Cup final. Nothing tonight on the NBA finals front. They'll be back at it tomorrow. We got some World Cup action coming up tonight. But
USA, baby.
You know, this time, 48 hours from now, when we're talking about Sunday morning, Ian Safara could be an NBA champion at that point. How's that feel?
It's a little nerve-wracking.
He's just not willing to
go
there.
No, not willing to go there. It's a little nerve-wracking, you know. But it'll be exciting. I'll be excited to watch on Saturday. It'll be one. I will say, I felt the other night watching the game, I felt a little bit like my grandfather when he was watching games and when he was, you know, in his older age in the 80s, where he was so nervous he couldn't even watch.
Yeah,
and that's what I found myself doing on that game. Like, as soon as Karl Anthony Towns got those two quick fouls, I turned it off. I was like, I cannot watch
this. I can't do it.
I cannot watch this. So I turned it off. We turn it back on, watch for a few, turn it back off, check the score, turn it back off. So hopefully I won't be doing that in this game, considering. But
just enjoy it.
Just try and take it in. If they lose, the series is not over.
You still got
the extra game. So I think I'm going to try and sit down and not be my 85-year-old grandfather walking in and out of the TV room, not being able to watch because his nerves can't handle it. That's the way I felt. I was oh my gosh, I'm turning into my grandfather.
That's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely heard of people doing that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Off and running on the program here today. We will get into the Titans coming up next. And we're going to start this show off with a mini Rob rant coming up next. There's something about the Tennessee Titans that, frankly, I am just so tired of hearing. And we will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We welcome in the visually appealing part of our show, Joe Rexroad, to the program. The YouTube chat can rest easy. Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, sorry I'm late, but yeah, I mean, speaking of visually appealing, I mean, check out what's behind me, you know. This is, for people who can't check it out, it's a beautiful picture of Aikman, Irvin, and Emmett with a Cowboys pennant, but there's a lot of things like that in this household. You may have noticed this week that, every so often a family member's like, hey, man, cool for you to stop by. Can you go to someone else's house now? You know, it's like my mom can, you know, then go see your brother, then go see your sister. You know, everybody, I'm basically being, you know, handed around because people can only tolerate me so long. So
good to know, though. I mean, you're just you're making the rounds up there. The Emmitt Smith photo behind you, if they only knew that you thought Emmitt Smith was like the 75th greatest running back of all time in the history of the league, they may not even let you stay there longer.
Oh, my brother-in-law have had that conversation. No, don't worry. You know, everybody knows where I stand. Emmitt was a very good player. He's one of the probably best running backs in the NFC East. I mean, he's one of the top five running backs in Cowboys history.
Yep.
Very good player.
Yep. Absolutely.
Solid.
Good
solid.
Stuff there.
It's good to play behind the best offensive line of all time.
Comes in slightly behind, I think, Tony Pollard in the rankings of all-time Cowboys running backs.
It's close. Yeah, it's neck. I'd give him the edge on Pollard.
That's good.
I'd give him the edge. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
I'd give him the dub there. There you go.
All right, so I want to play this clip from Robert Saleh yesterday. And, Joe, we're going to get into something in the aftermath of it that is really not even exclusive to Saleh, but it's something that as somebody who follows this team, I'm so tired of hearing about, or maybe more specifically not hearing about. Here's what Robert Saleh had to say yesterday on the Cam Ward front when asked about, hey, you know, what do you think when you're watching Cam Ward, what are some things you think maybe he could be elite at?
If Cam becomes what you guys think he can become, what do you think the one or two traits he can hang his hat on as? These are the things that he does at an elite level are.
I don't know if I want to answer that one right now because I'm still learning them too. But I could tell you just visually, just being out here with him, like he's got an unbelievable mindset. He is fearless. He really can move on to the next play no matter what happens the play before. His arm talent is ridiculous. So as he continues to develop, and his communication with Daboll too, like he's been awesome in that regard. But he's a playmaker. Like in all our move the ball periods when we go unscripted, I think that's where he shines the most. And I think he shines in those moments because he's just playing football, you know. And so it's exciting to see him kind of develop through these OTAs, and it's exciting to see where he excels during the course of practice. But once training camp gets going, I think we'll really see where he's at.
So that was Robert Saleh yesterday, Joe, on Cam Ward. And here's where I want to start. Again, this is not really me taking a shot at Robert Saleh, because this is something that has been beaten into me the last couple of years here that has just progressively driven me more crazy and crazy. This happened with Will Levis all the time, too, when it came to Brian Callahan. I mean, you'd be asking him about, you know, things about Will Levis and the game and all these things, and it always comes back to things that have nothing to do with throwing the ball. It's like, well, the mindset's great, or, you know, he's really tough out there, or, you know, the ability to move on from, you know, the play to play. He can play the next play with the best of them. That's great, and I'm not saying all that at the quarterback position is unimportant. We've talked about, you know, those things, and you've got to have a certain disposition about you as a quarterback. But, Joe, my goodness, it would be nice at some point if somebody asked about a Titans quarterback to the coach about things that they were really excited about, and one of the responses was, you know what, I'm really excited about his ability to deliver the ball exactly where it needs to be and his ability to look at the opposing defense and know exactly what's coming and have the answers to the test. Things that can tangibly help you on the field. I would love, if I'm a Titans fan, to get to the point with a quarterback here pretty soon where it becomes pretty clear that the strengths on the field are what matter and not the strengths of what the mentality is and all these other things. Like, it drives me insane, and I get it. It's not a Robert Saleh specific thing. I get it. It's a June practice in OTAs, and he didn't want to go down the rabbit hole of getting into, like, so, you know, throwing himself out there with some traits that he loves about Cam Ward. But I heard that yesterday, Joe, and I started texting somebody as I was like, good. The mentality from Cam Ward is great. Well, that's awesome. I'm not saying that's unimportant, but good God, I want some physical skills from a quarterback that the coach loves. Driven me nuts yesterday, Joe.
Yeah. Well, people are watching him throw, and obviously he's still off the mark a lot, right? Or maybe not a lot, but he's off the mark enough that people are coming away from these practices saying, eh, that was, you know, Cam Ward struggle. Why did Cam Ward struggle? Why did he miss this pass? We're breaking down. So, I guess if Robert Saleh came out and said, well, what I like about him, guys, is that he delivers the ball every time out to the right spot. Everybody's like, well, no, he doesn't, because we've been watching him out there.
Well, so I'm not even true. Saying he should have said it. I would like for it to be true at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I also say that even if it is true, you know, that the stuff he talked about there is still stuff that the coaches usually will talk about more, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's – yeah, obviously a guy delivers the ball, but it's the mentality, it's the mindset, it's the toughness. These are things that coaches talk about, even with quarterbacks who do that at a higher level than Cam Ward is doing right now. But yes, it would be good if we could all get past Because I agree, yes, it's important. It matters. Of course it matters. Cam, it is important to move to the next play. And I love his mindset. But, yeah, it just has limitations. I mean, like, that gets you so far. That helps you so much. And so,
well, that just, it just reminded me so much of, like, the Will Levis stuff. You know, you'd ask Callahan about Levis, yeah. And it was like, well, that guy is just tough as nails. And, well, that's great. I'm glad that the quarterback's tough. But I don't really care how tough he is when he's being drugged down from behind and throwing the ball over the top of his head to the other team. I don't care how tough you are at that point.
Well, and the thing is, yes, you could say he was tough, but I hope no one ever said, boy, he just lets that last play go and moves on to the next play. Because as we know, Will Levis, I mean, that's, I think, a huge part of the problem for him, right, is that he was wound too tight and couldn't get rid of the bad plays, and then they compounded themselves. I don't think that's a problem for Cam Ward. But again, okay, great. That is an upgrade from Will Wade in that – Will Wade. From Will Levis
like
in that way.
Yeah,
like to see him get hit by some pass rushers. But yeah, again, it's just limitations on what that means for you. So I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing too, though. It's like, so it sounded like that was Easton asking that question,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's also one of those things. I mean, obviously, I guess because he's new for Salah, I guess that's fine. But it's like, it is year two, right? We're asking questions about, you know, what's he good at? What, you know, describe his game for us. I mean, we've seen him play a whole season. He has to get better at things. But again, I guess because Salah has fresh eyes on him, you know, I guess it's worth seeing what he says about something like that. But that's, coaches default to that stuff too, man.
I mean, look, there are only two coaches and two organizations in the league that I keep up with on a day-to-day basis, right? Like I couldn't tell you, you know, what Sean McVay is saying about Matthew Stafford every day. I've got a general idea, but I couldn't tell you what he's saying every day. Like, the Packers and the Titans are the two teams that every single press conference, every time the coach talks, I know what's going on. And I understand it's a completely different situation in Green Bay than it is here, right? Like, Jordan Love at this point is an established guy. But it wasn't that long ago, like, they started asking LaFleur, who, as you know, one of my least favorite people, about Jordan Love. And the first thing he started talking about, he's like, yeah, I mean, he is just absolutely a machine out there right now, putting the ball exactly where I need to put it. Like, every time. The ball is right where it needs to be. He's got a complete mastery of the offense, and we feel great about where he is right now. And again, I understand it's quarterbacks in two completely different situations, but I was thinking about that yesterday when I heard the Salah answer, and I was like, boy, it sure is great to have a quarterback where you're like, yep, that ball is exactly where you need it to be, and he knows exactly where to go with it every time.
Sounds like a compliment from Matt LaFleur. I mean, I don't know. Call me crazy, but it sounded like, you know.
Well, it's about as close as you'll get me to do it is June with LaFleur.
June, one comment. That's the pro. That's your whole list of pros for
June.
Matt LaFleur. Yeah.
He's great in June. Yes.
Yeah. Look, it gets old. It does. It gets old. And it also just, at this time, I mean, they've, to the Titans' credit, they've let everybody watch more practice, which is great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it seems that there's some alarming stuff in all of them, although I don't, you know, again, I don't know if alarming is quite, I don't know if it quite rises to that level, but it has sort of intensified the whole deal here about Cam Ward and accuracy and really, like, the thing that if you're a good to great quarterback in this league, like, that's just an absolute prerequisite to be that.
Well, and apparently it didn't go well again yesterday. And apparently that was a problem again yesterday for Cam Ward. Some people out of practice making some observations on the Cam Ward front. We'll get into some of that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts at 615-737-1025, including, you know, a part of this that we've talked about that I am growing more and more concerned about that we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of offseason coverage here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, apparently Not a good day again for Cam Ward out at practice yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I was doing some reading yesterday. Now, I did find it interesting, even at TennesseeTitans.com, our friend Jim Wyatt had this to say. He said, quote, "It wasn't a great day for quarterback Cam Ward, who hasn't looked very sharp in these recent OTAs." Talking about missing some throws. I think he was 13 of 25, according to Jim Wyatt yesterday on the day. And in the five open OTAs, 62 of 113 on the 7-on-7 and team drills combined, which is not good, Joe. I mean, that's not what you're looking for in practice there. Here's what I'll say. We've talked ad nauseum this week about, you know, the OTAs, the accuracy struggles, all that. And I stand by what I've said for the most part of it's June. I don't particularly care. The accuracy concerns with him are not new. I will say this, though. You would like to see at some point, even though there's a limitation as to what all this means, like it'd be nice for him to have like one good day out there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
Cam was hot today.
Yeah, yes. Like that's what, yes. I guess when you stack as many of them up that are subpar as it appears that he's done, that's when my concern starts to maybe grow a little bit beyond the, well, it's June practices, who really cares? Like, you know, if you have a couple of bad practices in June, I just think there's a huge limitation as to what that actually means moving forward. And maybe there still is. But the fact that it appears like, Joe, it's basically been like every time that they've been out there with the open practice and it's just not gone very well for Cam Ward, that part of it becomes a little bit more concerning to me than maybe it otherwise normally would be.
Yeah, for sure. Go back. You can find people yesterday were giving us the examples, Drake May, Caleb Williams, and all that stuff. And certainly they struggled at least on days. I don't know that it was every day. You could find practice accounts, whether it's in the spring or whether it's training camp. You can find practice accounts of every quarterback probably in history for whoever follows it closely enough to really monitor and take the stats on the practice stuff that had bad days and maybe even bad stretches. But how many good quarterbacks don't mix in good days, you know, yeah, practice? I mean, it's probably not many. Again, this is spring. This is new offense. You have to keep that in mind. Some people will look at that as, you know, wanting to make excuses for him, but you just have to have the proper context. It is new. This is something we talked about last year. Well, not great if you come in and you're drinking from a fire hose, you're learning a new offense, and then, hey, by the way, here's an all-new, totally different offense and OC and terminology and all that stuff for you to get into in year two, while you're also, by the way, trying to recover with your shoulder and all that stuff. So there's plenty of excuses built in here. But, yeah, you'd like to see just a day where he gets on a heater. And, again, it's him on a heater. It's also the communication. It's the having the answers, like you said, but then just delivering the football. There's still more time this spring for that to happen. If we get through the end of the spring and it never happens and it's just a consistent thing that he struggles, is that, you know, how much does that move the needle in terms of, okay, there's a real concern? I mean, it's hard for me to get there too much in the spring, but I mean, look at the conversation now. If we're talking about the overall conversation around town about, yeah, Cam Ward, it's going to get louder.
It's going to get louder. The thing that, again, without being there and having limitations is what this all means. Like the 7-on-7 struggles to me are weird. Like, I think yesterday, according to Wyatt, he was 4 of 8 in the 7-on-7. And Kuharski said it earlier this week. It's like, it's kind of a, I don't know if red flag is the right phrase, but your eyebrows go up a little bit in a 7-on-7 period when the ball touches the ground, Joe. Like, it's just like it's naturally designed for the offense and the quarterback to be able to move the ball. So, look, I mean, he could be throwing all these 7-on-7 periods 45 yards down the field, and you just automatically, you know, lower your chances at that point. But the 7-on-7 struggles would be the one to me where it's like, that just doesn't really add up as to what that's supposed to look like in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, 7-on-7 should be – there's no – and I understand that quarterbacks can't get hit anyway. They have the, you know, the red jersey on or whatever, but – there's still a difference. If you, there's still a human instinct of, here's a big body coming near me. Also, you know they're going to whistle it dead if it gets close enough. It's going to be a sack. So you don't have that at all. You just sit there and throw. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's not ideal. We got Ryan in Florida saying, you know, you got the Allen Iverson talking about practicing. And sure, we are. Unfortunately, this is all we've got right now, man. We got practice.
Well, and again, if he was lighting it up out there at practice, people would be talking about it the other way of, oh, my goodness, look how good Cam Ward looks. So you can't live in both worlds. Either it matters or it doesn't.
Yeah, it's the default is going to be more in an NFL town, more impulse overall to react if it's good and not react if it's bad, right? Like we were talking about the other day. I think that's what I was trying to say the other day. It's you're getting, again, I mean, Jimmy Wyatt wrote it just plain as day there. Like he has struggled. A lot of people telling us about, you know, bringing up Stilley, calling him a bust. Is that new? I don't think that's new. It's just maybe just saying it more now. I mean, again, it's silly and goofy and too early to be convinced about anything right now. Just like it would be ridiculous to say he's a star.
Yeah.
I mean, it's come on.
Again, like,
but it's not the spring you're hoping for so far.
Well, I think if you're a Titans fan, what you're hoping for is they are, you know, somebody asked earlier on the text line, is he still hurt? See, I don't buy that. Like, I understand you had the shoulder stuff, but to me, if there was any sort of lingering concern on that front, then the Titans would be insane to put him out there at this point. Like, to me,
he's lying.
Well, yeah.
That would be really,
and that'd be
ridiculous.
A different problem at that point. But, like, to me, it tells me that if he's out there on the field in OTAs, which, by the way, I think is a very good thing from an injury standpoint, that it's progressed to that point where it didn't look like it was even a concern for the Titans heading into it. But my guess is if they had any doubt on that front, he would not be out there in OTAs. So I don't really buy the injury stuff.
That can't be anything. Again, unless he's reckless. And so then we're going to get into, if that's the case, then we're getting into toughness that hurts you, and it's just you're doomed. I mean, if you can't if you can't understand that, like, if your performance is affected at all by pain, tracing to that injury right now, there's if anybody in the Titans knew that, there's zero chance he'd be throwing a pass. He wouldn't be out there.
Right.
He wouldn't be out there doing the shuffle drills without throwing a pass if there was any pain or there's any concern. So, yeah, I think we have to take that as a complete non-issue.
I think so. And the other thing is, and I don't know how much validity there is to this. Like, you know, how much did as Brian Daboll looked at it and said, you know what, well, there are some things mechanically that we got to fix, and they're working through that process right now. Like, I mean, if you're asking me on the surface, Joe, if that's the case, I'd rather him work through some of that stuff in June and be ready to go, or more ready to go by the time August rolls around. I don't know. Like, but at the same time, I understand that there's a chance they could be changing some things with him mechanically. I'm not going to shut the door to that possibility. I don't think it should throw you off that much to the point where, I mean, you're just missing balls everywhere in OTAs, right?
Yeah, look, this is where the injury, again, we can find another excuse if he doesn't play well, which is take the injury away and there's more time to work on all these things, you know. And of course you're going to be working on footwork and lower body stuff every day, every practice. But yeah, then you get out there and you're going to throw how you throw when you do these drills, and this is what you're going to be this season. I mean, you're going to keep working on it and trying to hone it and all that stuff, but there's not going to be some massive change between now and the season. This is what you are. So then I get back to the question, how much of this is not having the answers yet, which is understandable to a point, and other guys, the guys you're throwing to, not having the answers, not being on the same page. How much of it is everything's there, you see it, it's there, the timing's right, and just a bit outside. We don't know.
Some other non-Cam Ward storylines to get to on the Titans front that we will do coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, some non-Cam Ward storylines for the Tennessee Titans. Let's start here, okay? Apparently, Hendon Hooker already being disrespected out there. You know, Mitch Trubisky has found his way back into practice, and he's been out there. So, obviously, when you're talking about four quarterbacks, there's not a ton of reps to go around. And Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com has put it out there. You know, Trubisky's back in there. Levis continuing to get some team reps. And 7-on-7, and this is the way Wyatt describes it. Quarterback Hendon Hooker, meanwhile, has seen his opportunities decrease. So, Joe, we're not even into the preseason yet. We're already disrespecting your boy Hendon Hooker out there. Doesn't look like he's getting to throw the ball a whole lot.
Saving the secret weapon for when it really matters.
You know,
don't worry.
Get that Will Levis
will get traded at some point. Yeah, a little QB draw.
I mean, the jet sweep with Hendon Hooker can't be as bad as the Brian Callahan jet sweep to Chim Dike 45 times last year in a five-game stretch that gained a maximum of, you know, 4 yards.
Which is weird because he can run well. Will Levis will be moved at some point, I think. Possibly.
We've been saying that for a long time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, clearly – I don't know. I guess clearly no one – we never thought there was going to be any big market anyway. It's just a move to move on. But look, I bet you you're going to see a growing sentiment in all seriousness. And, yes, I mean, obviously, Hendon Hooker is holding on by a thread of being in this league, staying in this league.
Yes.
I think we may see a growing sentiment of, okay, so are we sure that Will Levis shouldn't get, like, a look here or there? You know, I mean, of course, at this point, the organization is 100% all in, has to be 100% all in on Cam Ward. Obviously, I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying I expect to hear a little bit more of that.
Yes. Alante Taylor back out there. And Sala did say that Cordell Flott is around and is rehabbing an injury that he had a couple of weeks ago. So we talked with Kuharski earlier this week about, hey, you know, if you're some of these veteran guys that aren't there or haven't been out there, why not? And if there's something injury-related, maybe put it out there. And apparently Flott has been dealing with an injury the last couple of weeks. So good to know that's why he has not been out there, Joe.
Good to see Kuharski apologize for bad reporting on his part. Maybe he can take a little bit more time for self-reflection as opposed to trolling me and acting like he's a huge Knicks fan. And I'm just not responding to
him. Yeah, you won't say it, Joe.
Yeah, well, yeah, he can – you know what? That mother farter can say something, too.
God,
okay?
You make me so nervous. I mean, just soul leaves my body every time.
There's just a little bit of you dies every time I say it. Yeah. But I guess it's not good, but at least there's an answer for someone. It's good that someone like in his position would not be voluntarily missing stuff. But then, of course, you can also take this to the Cam Ward discussion. And we've already talked about it, but gee, you're struggling out here, and you're not even going against like the best guys you could possibly be going against in practice.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that you could certainly add that layer to it on that front. And you know, I hesitate to bring this up, Joe, but not really because it's going to be brought up throughout training camp, I think, at this point. But apparently, you know, the best receiver on the field out there yesterday, Restrepo. Restrepo getting it done out there. So take that for what you will in June practices. Apparently Restrepo's playing well.
Does he have a chance to be the new Mason Kinsey? Could there be a passing of the torch to where now Restrepo is like the guy who every year he looks awesome in practice, he's on the practice squad. No, of course he's not gonna play, but people talk about him. I didn't think so. I would after last year I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be a short stay for Xavier, but maybe not. I'm wrong.
How long has Mason Kinsey been here? Like, how long has he been floating around on the Titans practice squad? Let me Google search this real quick. According to AI.
Didn't he come in with Vince Young?
Yeah. He's been around since the McNair. According to AI, Mason Kinsey first made the Titans practice squad in September of 2020. That's a long time, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I actually, if you would have told me like even like 2019 or 18, I would have believed you. But yeah, no, he's a legend. I mean, there should be a Titans practice squad ring of honor, and he'd be the headliner. So it's in all seriousness with Restrepo, I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that like he would even get enough opportunities, but after last year, to even be a guy who shows out in practice in June. So maybe I'm a little bit down on Xavier Restrepo.
Well, I mean, people are going to naturally take that to like, can he make the team? I mean, there's already five spots that are spoken for when it comes to wide receivers, right? I mean, they've got five guys that are going to make the team when it comes to Tate, Robinson, Ridley, DK, and Io Manor. So there's five spots immediately that are taken care of. Bryce Oliver has been a very good special teams player, so there's probably six. Like, I don't know if a competition heading into camp, this may be the first time we could say this in forever, I don't know that there's a competition heading into camp on the wide receiver front that actually exists.
Yeah. So, no, the answer is no. It's a question of can he make the, you know, can he end up on the practice squad? Like, is he valued enough to be part of the practice squad? Are there other people who bump him out of that? Which I still think is very much on the table for him.
I think so too. But hey,
not to be a hater.
He's not going out without a fight, you know? He got brought up last year more than any practice squad player I think I've ever seen. And he's not going to let it go this year either, I don't think. I think you're going to continue to see him get brought up.
Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, I guess sure, you know. But you always like to see a new camp hero emerge.
Sure.
You know, at receiver. Because, like, receiver, there's just always guys. You know, there's always guys, UDFAs who can play. There's always guys out there. We understand the Restrepo Ward relationship and all that, which is fine. But it would be nice to maybe see somebody else do something different. Meanwhile, apparently Mitch Trubisky is just sharp as a tack out there, huh?
Well, you know, it's not a bad thing to have a good backup quarterback. Case in point, Brandon Allen last year. It was not fun to watch Brandon Allen play football in that last Jacksonville game, let me tell you.
Yeah, so Trubisky is certainly an upgrade. But this is – so I'm reading Wyatt, 17 of 22 on the day, 45 of 55 in three OT sessions. By my quick math, that's, you know, that's roughly 80%.
That's what it should look like in practice.
Right. We also know what Trubisky looks like in games.
Yeah, we do.
So, right. So you don't want to, again, you just don't want to overreact to this stuff. But you just want to see, to your point earlier, you just want to see a drive where, like, whoa, Cam Ward, all of a sudden he went 4 for 4. And it was boom, boom, boom. And you don't want it to be confined to here and there. He extends a play. And, you know, just like Saleh's talking about at the presser about, you know, that's when he just plays football. Well, but the thing is, in the NFL, you are within a structure, and there's just so many plays where you've got to take something quick, and you got to get the ball on time and on target, or you're going to be punting.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Vince Young earlier. He's pretty darn good outside of structure in the NFL. You put him in structure, didn't go so well for the Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, shoulder pads in the stands aside, you know?
That was way outside of structure.
That was. It sure was. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. A philosophical question from our number one philosopher on the show, Joe Rexroad, that I'm excited to get Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans' thoughts on coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.